Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom-quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's ghirelli.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me, my heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes, when I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Paul. All your powers, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Sun and moon, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Every shower and dew, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. All your winds, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Fire and heat, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Cold and chill, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Dew and rain, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Frost and chill, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Nights and days, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Light and darkness, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Lightnings and clouds, bless the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever. Okay, please be seated. Taken from Daniel chapter 3, which is very much related to the number that we're going to be reading and commenting this evening. And that is the number 158. Okay. Last week we went through 157. We gave you some rules for how to act in desolation. Remember? Yeah. We gave you some rules on how do we conduct ourselves when we find ourselves in a state of desolation. You might review those rules and maybe even go You go to my website and listen to that talk again. I think it's pretty good for people like yourself that are trying to know what desolation is and what to do and what not to do. I thought it came out pretty well. People commented they liked the presentation. So I never really give a full hour talk just on what to do in desolation. Usually I do it in passing in the exercises. So maybe revisit that, okay? Because we all go through desolation, right? And we have to know what to do and what not to do. No? Making a wrong decision, desolation, could be catastrophic, if I can use that strong word in English. No? So we have to know what to do. Okay. 158. When I was at Kikers to replace one of the sisters for a short time, I went across the garden one afternoon and stopped at the shore of the lake. I stood there for a long time, contemplating my surroundings. Suddenly I saw the Lord Jesus near me. He graciously said to me, "All this I created for you." See the connection between that and Daniel chapter 3? "All this I created for you." He's talking about nature now. "My spouse, and know that all this beauty is nothing compared to what I have prepared for you in eternity." A mere pale reflection. My soul was inundated with such consolation that I stayed there until evening. It seemed to me like a brief moment. Now, so you're going from, look at it, you're going from desolation to consolation now. I really believe this textbook is very Ignatian, because you see the interplay of consolation and desolation in one of the greatest modern saints. So as Father Tim Gallagher always says, we should be ashamed that we have desolation. And if you look through your day, if you kind of characterize yourself as a day of desolation or consolation, it probably goes up and down. You might be in desolation during the morning, then you hit the afternoon, you're in consolation. Probably the best word is undulates or fluctuates. You know, you can't. And you might get up one morning and feel you're going to be in desolation the whole day, and it's the other way around. So this state of soul, desolation, consolation, we have to constantly be studying this and how to react toward this state, what to do and what to avoid. The Ignatian rules are, I really believe, gems, the masterpieces we want to advance in the spiritual life. So after Jesus speaks, you know by now the bold print is Jesus speaking, right? The black would be Jesus speaking. "My soul was inundated." Now, I like that word in English. I sometimes use it in my conversation. I like the word. I think a good synonym would be like a deluge, you know? Inundated. It's not trickling. You're just being totally absorbed, okay? So it wasn't just a little bit of consolation, it was just a huge, like tsunami almost, like a huge wave of consolation that stayed there until evening. So that means the whole afternoon and evening she experienced not simply consolation, but a huge wave of consolation. if you're ever making a retreat and you have a retreat master, Ignatius says this, if you're going through a retreat, 8-day retreat and month retreat, and there's no desolation or consolation, you're not praying. It's a bad sign. The sign of spiritual death. There always has to be some type of movement, okay? And so the annotation for the director says, you test this person, are you really doing the exercises well? So if in your spiritual life you feel strong surges of consolation, when you feel a really strong desolation, it might not be bad. And often before major victories, there is a state of desolation. We see Ignatius when he's about to receive the exercises in Manresa. I mean, he went going through a powerful desolation. It was Montserrat. He was in consolation. Those two different places, there's an interplay of those two different spirits. With such consolation that I stayed there until evening. Seemed to me like a brief moment. How true. When desolation, 1 hour seems to be an eternity, right? Whereas when consolation, it seems as if, you know, time flies by. So I'm trying to give you an Ignatian interpretation of this text. You might be with, you know, sometimes we have to be with people that cause us desolation, no? I'm not saying your spouses, I'm not saying that, no. I didn't say that, nor did I even make an allusion to that. No. You might be at work, you might be, well, you got to be with this person, this person, you don't like that person, and he doesn't like you either. But you got to be with them. No way around it. No? So, she said that was my free day. So what happened? She was transferred to another convent. You see, she's being moved around quickly. She's not staying in the same house for long at all, no? You know, she's going to Warsaw and Krakow, and she's going to Vilnius. She seemed to be kind of like a ping pong ball, being knocked all over the place, no? Holy indifference, not to attach herself to any place, right? And I read into, I can read Ignatius into any text I read, right? That was my free day, set apart for a one-day retreat. My free day, set apart for a one-day retreat. And so I was quite free to devote myself to prayer. Oh, how the infinitely good God pursues us with his goodness. God is pursuing us to manifest his goodness toward us. The last phrase, it kind of took me by surprise, but I really like it. It often happens, that the Lord grants me the greatest graces when I do not at all expect them. Ever happened? Of course. Our God is a God of surprises, right? When you least expect it, God is there knocking at the door, ready to give you very signal graces, right? You maybe examine the past 2 or 3 days. We had certain consolations. You didn't expect them, but they came. How good God is, right? So what she's saying here is that God can visit you and give you consolation any time, place, manner, any way whatsoever. But unless we do our daily examine, we're not going to be able to pick this up. We're just moving a mile a minute in our spiritual life. We're probably not going to be aware of the graces that God has given to us, producing consolation with us in our hearts. So you have to do your daily examine. Do it well. You see God's, these mystical touches, you might call them, these divine graces. Could be a smile. Could be a word of encouragement. Could be the sun. Could be a gentle breeze. Could be some news from a relative. Could be sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament and the Lord just inundates you with peace and grace. Could be saying Hail Mary. Could be after receiving Holy Communion. In my homily this morning, as well as 6:15, I spoke about conversions. No? I love that topic. I mean, I could go on and on. I talked about the conversion of Cardinal Newman and St. Augustine and Felix, the doctor, was married to Elizabeth Le Sieur, maybe heard that. The conversion of Jacques and Rice and Maritain. Leon Bloy, a famous writer, told them to pray. They didn't even believe in prayer. They prayed and they fell upon Thomas Aquinas. They were converted, no? Cardinal Newman, you ever study Apologia Pro Vita? I studied that my second year in Villanova, no. That's the confession of Augustine. And Newman says he came into the church by studying history. Study church history, intellectually you're going to end up in Rome. That's Cardinal Newman for you. So God can use one of the most striking conversions I ever heard was my spiritual director, confessor, 40 years ago was a French-Canadian OMI who became an OMB. He was an Oblate of Merrimack, but he transferred to us, and he was the confessor of all the American French-Canadian seminarians. And he told the story that the Oblates of Merrimack would preach popular missions. And one of them, it's kind of like the Oblates, our style. One is in the confessional, the other one is preaching. So the one that was preaching, he was kind of boring. He was just reading his homily with a monotone. I think that's boring. I mean, I prefer to kind of fumble through words than to be reading verbatim, you know. So he was kind of reading it very slowly. And the other priest was in the confessional saying, well, you know, Jesus walked on water. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got to turn the page. So priest in the confessional opened up the door and the man said, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. My last confession was 60 years ago." And he said, What brought you in the confession? Well, he said, "Well, that priest is kind of boring," but he said, "Wait a minute, I got to turn a page." And I thought, "Well, I'll turn a page in my life." And so here I am. So you use a homiletical flaw there, by means of that homiletical flaw, to convert this guy after 60 years. So God can use anything. And God is so intelligent, creative, he can use the most unthought of means by which he can convert. He can do it. He's the God of the universe, right? So, okay, I gleaned two ideas from this passage. So I'd like to start with the first. And Faustina said she had a day off, right? She had a free day. Do you ever have a free day? Hello? Say, for example, a month. Do you have a free day? Be honest. We all do, right? Yeah. I'm probably just as busy as you people are, but I have a free day. How do you use it? Sleep until 12 noon. Breakfast in bed. James. Pancake and waffles. No, I'm... Do you have any James nearby, or Heathcliff, if you like? No? Those are words you used to use in New York. Heathcliff, James, no? A rapido, no? Well, okay, where I'm heading is I think that all of you, it's not that if you don't do it, it's not going to be a sin. I think all of you should try to make a monthly day of retreat. Grace, good idea?
I do it.
Okay, so do I. But most of you don't, I don't think. Most of you are probably shocked that I say it. Well, Father, we're not monks. We're not Kermit the Hermit that lost his permit. No. It's one of my mom's favorite expressions, huh? I'm not a Camaldolese monk, nor a Trappist, nor a Cistercian. Well, they didn't say you were, but you're all called to become saints, right? So I would strongly encourage all of you to at least consider what I'm saying. And if you don't do it, I don't want to create qualms of conscience that you're committing your sin. You're not, but... Let me tell you from my experience. An old dog that's had a lot of experience in this topic, you know. We have it in our rule that we make a monthly day of recollection. For example, Father Craig, next week, he's going to be going off to the House of Prayer on Waverly, where we have our spiritual directors. And he's going to be spending the day there talking with his spiritual director. He's going to be praying. He usually likes to get some exercise. And then he does it once a month. And sometimes Father Dave, if he's not, Father Dave has to, he watches over Father Antolini. If he's able to get away, he'll go along with him. I do it also, but I do it in a different way. I prefer not to travel, because you're traveling there, you got an hour and a half. I prefer just to do it in my room. Because the travel time, you got 2.5 hours there, and for me, but to each his own, right? And we got the Blessed Sacrament here, we got a little chapel, and I honestly love to be in my room. I love to be in my room. Because there you got silence, you know, I've got the image of my saints, I got my Bible, I got my books, I've got a place in the house which is very quiet. I like to be in my room. I got a day off, I could spend the whole day there praying and reading and writing and composing. And I find that a day of silence, even every week, it helps me out so much. Once a week. But once a month, I want to try to get my 4 hours of meditation in. But I think you lay people can do it. Amen? But let me tell you, to encourage you. I've noticed over the years, and I've been a religious for, I guess, about 40 years now. That's a long time, isn't it? No? Entered in religious life about 40 years ago. Entered in at 63. I've noticed when I am slipshod or negligent in this area, I pay the consequences in that month. In other words, not that I'm the most patient person in the world, but I tend to be a little bit more impatient. I notice that I don't have as many lights, you know. I rely a lot upon inspirations. I don't have as many lights. I find myself sometimes even physically more tired, because when you're spiritually vibrant, I think that it affects your body too. I find that my relationship with other people is not as good as it should be. I find that I'm not dedicating myself as well as in the ministry of the confessional or preaching. In other words, I notice I pay the consequence. You hear me? You're probably going to say, oh, you're a priest, that's different. Okay, gotcha. But we're all called to become saints, right? And if that's done, you're kind of preparing yourself for the month where God's going to flood you with more graces. So what I'm really saying is, if we can learn how to pray more and better, then God is going to do the work for us. For example, this afternoon, I was thinking last night, I'm not going to get through it. It's going to be too much. So I had a wedding at 2, then I had a class at 3:30, I had another class at 5, then I had another mass at 6. Here I am. I mean, it's been nonstop for six hours talking. I was thinking last night, I'm not going to get through it. And I thought, that's a bad spirit work on you, Pumi. And I said, Lord, give me the grace. And am I still alive? And I feel pretty good. But I was looking at it, you know, biologically, you know, be able to be talking 5 to 6 hours almost nonstop. Any public speakers here? The most difficult thing is public speaking. You've got to be on the ball. But if it weren't for the grace of God, I don't think I'd be here now. More and more, St. Augustine, the doctor of grace, everything depends on grace. Right, Grace? Everything depends on grace. And it's this, if God is going to ask me to do a daunting task that maybe seems to go beyond human limits, well, I can't do it physically, but if God wants to do it, he'll do it with speed and graceful ease, as you say in New York. He does the work. We have to collaborate with it. And you look back, maybe in your life you had certain situations where you're thinking, how the heck am I going to get out of this? How am I going to resolve this? And God intervened and resolved it in a way that you would have never thought. Ever happened? He intervened and resolved the way in some way that you would have never thought in a thousand years. He resolved it. Like you ever read Mark Twain, okay, Joan of Arc, put her on trial. Are you in the state of grace? If I am, thanks be to God. If I'm not, may God put me there. Where did that come from? Who's that? Holy Spirit, right? So I really feel in the long run, see yourself as cross-country runners. Know what that is? Cross-country, see yourself, I was a cross-country runner when I was young, okay? You gotta. I know here in California, we'd had the invitationals. You'd be running with another 500 from Paramus and Fairlawn and Hackensack and our rivals to New Jersey, to Ridgewood, where we brought up and raised. I remember running in that. I didn't win it, but some of these guys would be gunning out the first third of the mile, and they'd be laying there on the ground panting. You had another two and a half miles to go, no? You got to pace yourself, you know. It's another 400. It's a long distance run. We gotta pace ourselves spiritually too. So when are you gonna do your day of recollection? Okay? I think some are gonna say, well, I have an idea. I'll start next year and I'll do it the 30th of February next year, okay? It's a good day, right? By the way, next year there's the 29th. Just don't forget about that, okay? That's important to me. My 16th birthday, okay? Sweet 16, huh? Yeah. No, this has to be done. You have to think always a month ahead of time. So we're almost in the middle of May. We're getting close to it. Okay, say for example, you start in June. Even right now, okay, June, yeah. Well, hey. 15th of June, I don't have work, and my husband and children are going to be in Guadalajara. So I've got 3 days by myself, and two of those days I don't have work. Aha. I know what I'm going to do. There's a Yankee Angel game I'm going to go to. Or Dodger. Okay? No, put that on the back burner. So you got that day free. You got it free. Go for it. Amen? And if it's done, if you form that happen, you form that habit, you're going to see it'll pay off. This is very much related to the whole idea of perseverance. You notice, okay, if you don't do your holy hour or you cut corners, you pay the consequences, right? Hello? If you're cutting corners, you're not doing it, or you maybe, well, 44 minutes is good enough. No, it's 62 minutes. I'm waiting for 44. You're cutting corners, you pay the consequences. If you cheat on God, He's going to pull back. He's not going to give you the graces that you need to be able to live a holy life. So don't plan on, February 30th next year, okay? There's no February 30th, is there, no? Okay, so let me give you a suggestion of an outline of a one-day retreat. Okay? Can I give that to you? I wrote it out. I wrote it out for you. Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Okay, prepare yourself the night before. Okay. Don't throw yourself into it. Okay, you're already 12 noon, you're going to be doing it. It's half the day, right? 12 hours have already gone by. So I would say already dispose yourself for this the night before. And I would suggest that you, even the night before, you type out what you're going to do. Type it out. In other words, you type out a mini plan of life. Okay? A little mini plan of life. For one day. So before you go to bed, you already have it there before your eyes. See, often we waste time because we're not well ordered. If you don't know where you're heading, okay, you end up by wasting a lot of time. Remember when I entered the university, I do this every year for my first year. Every night I'd write down about 10 things that I had to do the following day. I write on a little 3x5 card. It was like a mini plan of life. I didn't know too much about Ignatius. I just felt I don't want to be wasting time tomorrow. I got to reach Milton, Paradise Lost. I got to read that, okay? Okay, I have to do a written work, okay? And I forgot to go to confession that day. Okay? And make sure I want to say my 4 rosaries, okay? I got to hit the gym. A little bit of exercise is good for me. I got to speak with this professor at 2:30. Now write it out. I got to polish my shoes, okay? Remember, my dad was, you're going to laugh at this. My dad was really strong in me. He said, son, you got to polish those shoes. You know why? I said, because you're up on the altar and people are looking at your shoes, no? You're higher. You think that they're not well polished, you're a slob, no? My dad's education, no? Because first impressions are important, no? Yeah? So what I would do is I would always try to do the easiest thing first. You know why, Grace? Because that would build up momentum. If I tried to tackle the most daunting and difficult, I might not get it done and become discouraged. So you start with the most simple, okay, you got to shine your shoes. That's not too hard, is it, no? And then move into the more difficult thing. You know, before you know it, you're building up a lot of momentum. By the end of the day, you've accomplished those 10 objectives. Because you started off with something, and you offer that to God as a gift. You might even do that with a retreat. Write it out. Okay, so let's give you your day of retreat. This is taken from the diary because St. Faustina had a free day. What did she do? She went off to the lake and God spoke to her through nature. Often, I mean, God can speak to us at any time, place, any way. Often Jesus is speaking to Faustina in any circumstance. Sometime before the Blessed Sacrament. But also God could speak to her through nature. That's why I prayed the beginning, Daniel chapter 3. So, you get up in the morning and you consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary. Amen? Or you start off by consecrating yourself to Jesus through Mary. Right, Raquel? Si, Padre. Okay. And then, I think Grace is going to love this one. Fulton Sheen says, never start your meditation without your first cup of coffee, right?
Right.
You like that?
I love it.
Okay.
But it can be awake.
Okay. Otherwise, you're going to be agreeing with everything you read. So the yo-yo approach. I like a little bit of coffee in the morning, huh? Get the engine moving, huh?
Yeah.
Get it revved up, huh?
Wake
And then I would say after try to do your first hour of meditation as soon as possible. Okay, you're up. Yeah, maybe splash some cold water in your face. No. Get your coffee, and now you're ready. And the first one you might do in your room rather than come to the church if you want to come to church. You might love this because the church is open at 4:45. Isn't that great? Yes. So I think it's perfect for Fran because she gets up at 3:30 every morning, right? Okay, here's a good religious. I always have to tell at least one little joke, right? Okay. Usually this one only 50% of the people pick it up, and the other 50% pick it up later on at night, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, a good religious priest gets up at 4:15 twice a day. Okay, well, you didn't pick it up. Okay, you'll pick it up later though, I think. It didn't go over, but you'll understand it later on. It's a good one. It's an intellectual one. Huh? You get up at 4:15 in the morning, at 4:15 after a long siesta, no? Now you got it, okay. Religious will pick it up right away. Lay people a little bit more slow to pick up those jokes among religious. Okay, then I would suggest after you get your first holy hour in, you might come to St. Peter's Chanel. You can join us praying the Liturgy of the Hours. Amen? Yeah, come and bring your breviary, the Liturgy of the Hours. You can do that. Right, Dr. Dan, we got a nice big group there. More and more people are coming. They prefer it in Spanish. They do it here at the same time in Spanish. No? Raquel and Gerardo can alternate one time Spanish, another time in English, and then Swahili the third time, okay? I think it's a great way to pray. What? Thank you. That's at 7:25, sometime in between 7:25 and 7:30. Yeah. So you're invited to come. And if you don't know how to pray, you can maybe sit next to Dr. Dan. He's a good teacher, right? Or what?
The blind leading the blind.
The blind leading the blind. He's a humble man. He knows how to do it pretty well. There was a man that came the other day and he was kind of fumbling through it with him, right? Well, you can sit next to someone and that person will be able to help you. Indai is pretty good. Yeah. Jaime is pretty good, right? Okay, good. But you know, you'll learn by doing it, but I think sooner or later, also I'll give you a talk later on, you should learn how to do the Liturgy of the Hours. Because it's the official liturgical prayer after the Mass. It's an extension of the Mass in which you're called to sanctify the hours of the day. The apostles went up to the prayer mid-morning, mid-day, mid-afternoon, in the evening. They'd be praying certain hours, and it's taken from the apostles going to the temple to pray at set hours, sanctifying the hours of the day. Okay, then after that you go to Mass. Then after Mass, Pope Paul VI, in his document, Mariales Cultus, maybe you've read that by now, it's Mary in the liturgical year, he says that it's not a good idea to pray the rosary during the Mass, but to pray the rosary after the Mass. Have you ever seen any priest do that? Not yet? I do it. Almost every, I usually have the 8 o'clock Mass. I love to pray the rosary afterward. You know what I say? I'll sit down for about 5 minutes to give my thanksgiving, 3 to 5 minutes, and then I'll tell the Lord, Lord, I want to spend another 2 hours, but the people may not want that. So I'll extend my thanksgiving through your mother's heart by praying the rosary. That's what I usually say. And I get up and say, Lord, okay, I'm continuing my thanksgiving. I'll give these people the blessing. They're waiting for that blessing. They're waiting. See, you get kind of ants in their pants a little bit. Okay? Or maybe some of those pantalones and pulcrono. Or cucaracha, I don't know. Then I pray the rosary. Then I pray the chaplet. Then I pray for the Pope. And I really believe that's one of the best thanksgivings, because you're thanking and praising Jesus through the heart of Mary. Could be better, huh?
Yeah.
You're doing it through the heart of Mary. Then we pray the chaplet. So there you are. You've consecrated yourself to Mary. Grace, you've had your cup of coffee. You've done your holy hour, first one. You're there for the Liturgy of the Hours. You've been there for the Mass. The rosary, the chaplet, and it's already about 9:20, close to 9:30. Okay, now you can go to McDonald's and you can get your coffee.
You fast and you go to the place.
No, but if you want to get a little something to eat, you know, nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin. We're in the Easter season, right? No. Easter season, we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. No? Get a little something to eat, and you're finishing your coffee, right, Grace? No? And then it's time for your second holy hour.
Right.
Okay, about the time, it's about 10:30. At 10:30, you take that all the way up to 11:45, you get an hour and 15 minutes. Oh, guess what? You're doing it from the Blessed Sacrament, St. Peter Chanel. Guess what? You have 12 o'clock. Oh, why? Do you know? You don't know yet? Friend? Is it wrong to go to two Masses a day?
No.
Is it a sin?
No.
No. Yesterday, before the talk, this lady came up and said, I went to communion 2 times today and my husband is rebuking me. He's saying, you shouldn't be doing that. Bring the guy up to me. Hey, you're living in 1917. You're living a century behind time, no? You ever hear of John Paul II? You know what canon law is? You know the last canon law, 1917, 1980, John Paul II, and the canon law allows for communion twice a day. You go to two Masses, go twice a day, but not 3 times a day, unless you're a priest, okay? And you're not a priest, you can't do it. So you've already gone to Mass a couple of times. And it's not a sin, say the rosary a second time. And pray another chaplet. And maybe spend some time in silent adoration and thanksgiving. People are clearing out. You stay. You're not in a hurry. This is your day off, right? Do it with calmness. There's no hurry. Spend an extra 15, 20 minutes in silence talking to the Lord who's come into your soul. Then you can have lunch. You go to McDonald's the second time, huh? Or you can do this. When I was in retreat in I was in retreat in Texas. I mean, there was a refrigerator there in the rectory, but one or two days, I barely had enough time to eat until the evening, a little bit in the morning. Afternoon, it was a very, very, very busy mission. Guess what I had at night? I was reminiscing when I was a teenager. A good peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Amen. Yeah. I hit the spot. No, I'm sorry. It was peanut butter and honey. Okay. That means I was just going to town, huh? And I really liked it because it only took me about 3.5 minutes to make it and maybe about 10 minutes to eat it. And that was it. A little bit of milk, too. Hit the spot. So, in other words, we're making the retreat, we're focusing more on our soul than our stomachs, right? Hey, eat something. But the function of even eating is to prepare yourself to pray better. Okay? Whatever helps you to pray better, no? So it's already 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock? Oh, 3 o'clock. Guess what? Oh, ho. Hello? The mercy time. Mercy hour. Ah, you forgot, Marina, huh? Yeah. The mercy hour, huh? Pray it. Pray it. And then you pray two times. Then you bring the diary. Did any of you ever hear the diary of St. Faustina? Have you ever heard that? I got you, Mary, huh? Okay. If not, you're going to cast me into profound desolation. I've only been explaining it for 3 years, no? Not only that, you can pray the chapel. Hey, maybe you can read it for 15, 20 minutes. It's already 3:30. Now, there's nothing wrong with, I remember when I was in Italy. Ever been to Italy? The Italians, when I was the Italians, you're of Italian descent, they do not have big breakfast. They have a biscotti, cappuccino, you know. Whereas they have a pranzo. They have a pretty big lunch. No? The Americans have a tendency to have a pretty big breakfast and a small lunch. Remember one occasion I was having pranzo with the Italian, and he said, you know, after I finish pranzo, it's the best time of the day for me. I'm going to go up to my room and I'm going to do what is called my horizontal meditation. So there's nothing wrong with applying yourself to the horizontal meditation during the retreat. But not too long. Not too long. Yeah, because if you're really trying to pray well, it demands you really exert yourself. If you're trying to pray well, all day you're dedicating yourself to really serious prayer, you're expending a lot of energy. So if you, say for example, you don't take a little break, you know, you go back to another meditation, and you're going to be falling asleep. So better to rest a little bit than to be drowsy the rest of the afternoon. I'm probably different than most of you. Maybe it seemed to be contradictory, but if I'm drowsy, what I usually do, I go and do exercise. I don't like to take a siesta. No, I prefer go swimming for half an hour, and then I come back. I'm rejuvenated. No? But to each his own. Half hour, 45 minutes of maybe weightlifting or swimming or pumping iron, as they say in New Jersey, you know. It kind of rejuvenates me some. I've got to go back to it, no? But many of you are, maybe you're not that athletic. You prefer maybe just a... Okay. Not too long, okay? What's that?
Many of us are too old sometimes.
Yes, that's right, okay. Well, you can maybe take a walk around the park, huh? And then by 4:30 you're ready. Your third meditation, right? 4:30 to 5:30. Take another break, and then sometime in the evening, get the fourth hour in. So 2 hours in the morning, one in the afternoon, another one maybe you can get in. In the early evening. You might do this, you might take a walk and pray the rosary when you're taking a walk. Amen? And then you can also, maybe sometime during the day, some type of spiritual reading. Some type of spiritual reading. Read a really good book. A good book that to nourish your mind, your heart, your soul. And then end the day, okay, maybe during the course of the day also, maybe you find a confessor and go to confession. Yeah, day of retreat, a day of recollection is a good day to receive all the sacraments. Receive the Eucharist twice. You receive the absolution through sacramental confession. You pray a couple of rosaries. Go into Mass a couple of times. You've done some spiritual reading. Got a little bit of exercise. And maybe you end your day by doing a really good daily examine. And to conclude, you might write out for yourself some type of proposal. What is some concrete action that God wants you to carry out to improve for the next month? Now, if you do this, I would just like to point out three extraordinary blessings I think you're going to receive. First is this is going to upgrade your prayer life and maintain a vitality in your prayer life. You're going to maintain a certain muscle tone in your spiritual exercises, okay? In other words, we get spiritually flabby. Yeah, flabby muscles. You get flabby muscles if you don't do the weightlifting, huh? We can get spiritually flabby too, huh? Gordita, Spanish, huh? So it's a good way to maintain that spiritual prayer life dynamic with that vitality. Second, I really believe that by doing this, you'll be able to put into practice what Ignatius says in annotation number one. It will help you to order the disordered. Order the disordered, and by that, you will not be wasting time. It'll help you to order the disordered and to use your time more profitably the following month. And I think if you do this, if you do this with goodwill, because really, your intention is you want to draw close, you want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus and Mary, right? That's the real purpose. Constantly, we've got to keep purifying our intentions. But your purpose is you really want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus and Mary. And if you do that, I really believe you're going to experience two of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There are many fruits of the Holy Spirit, but especially this. Interior peace and joy. I think we all want to experience peace in our lives. Right? We all want to experience joy in the depths of our hearts. So I really believe that maybe God is challenging some of you to do this. Ask the Blessed Mother. Here we have Saint Faustina. What do you think the Blessed Mother would do if she had a free day? Think about Mary. Mary's our model, right? Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. I think if Mary had a free day, she'd probably spend that day talking with God. We call that prayer. What do you think of someone like Teresa of Avila? What do you think she'd do? What about Thomas Aquinas? What about little Francisco Marto? He had some free time. Go off and he'd be thinking about God. Little Francisco. Even in the Magnificat today we celebrate St. Damien of Molokai. No? I don't know if any of you subscribe to the Magnificat. The little reading today is charming. It's a friend that tells, that writes a little blurb on what Damien was like. You know? Said at first people were kind of afraid of him because he had a gruff, tough, muscular farm boy, kind of scared the people off. But then they fell in love with the guy. And his friend said that wherever he was going, he was always praying. He was always praying and praying and praying. And he didn't like to waste food, he said. You know, if he had leftovers, don't throw it away. I'll take care of that. It won't go to waste, it'll go to my waste, right? Okay. He didn't say that, but... that's what he meant, okay? You cannot find a saint that did not really try to grow in his prayer life. You can't. That's why he's a saint. And what is growing in our prayer life? It's growing in union with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, especially through Mary. So, was this talk helpful?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
It's probably one of the most practical talks I've ever given, but that jumped out at me when I was doing my meditation. I thought I'd give that as an invitation. So maybe try it. And I think if you try to do it, you try to put that into practice, your life is really going to grow in spirituality. So let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit. So I should say a special prayer because tomorrow the confirmation students, the first year they're being consecrated to Mary, so say a special prayer for them tomorrow, okay?
Thou
bless you and have a great night, okay?
For me and behind, and thou hast broke my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.